only cure for our basketball Jones. Hail Varsities, Jacob Padilla, on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Baby.
And we're joined now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline by our good friend Jacob Padilla of Herdad Sports. Jacob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Connor. I'm doing pretty well.
Good. I assume you, I wouldn't be staying up late for you, but I assume you you got around to watching the fantastic no-hitter last night?
I was locked in every single pitch. Go with that.
Yeah, what do you think that Jackson Brockett was doing to really get him to the point where he could allow zero hits last night? How, like, break down his performance for me.
I think he just realized his name was Jack Sprocket, and when you have a name like that, you have to be really good. And so he just went out there and lived up to his name.
That had to be it. That's as good of a baseball breakdown as we've ever had on the show, Jacob. So whoever said you weren't of baseball?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I got.
All right, the news of the day yesterday, of course, was in your world, is that Ryan Kalkbrenner is returning for a fifth year. Let's start here. How high does the level of surprise sort of rise up for you? Maybe not specifically about whether he's coming back or not. Maybe the timing of it a little bit. It can't register too high on the scale, but I guess what was your initial reaction?
Not surprised at all. I mean, obviously in season, like there's start, like he, there was some buzz about, like maybe there was kind of a shift in thinking here and like late in the season. I still think like I don't think he fully made that decision until, somewhat recently, but I think that it just, I think the question ultimately was always going to be, what did he want? Like, because it made sense. Like, I think Jonathan Givony of ESPN had him said he was kind of a surprise, like, for his side of things.
Yeah, I saw that.
The NBA kind of expected him to go and had him at 52 on his board. I think a lot of fans are, where's he going to go? Like, really want to go play overseas versus coming back for a fifth year. And I think NBA opportunities were going to be there. I think what those opportunities would have ended up being, like two-way, second round, whatever they may be. But I think he definitely could have gotten his foot in the door if he wanted to. And then from there, it's up to him to just kind of see if he could stick. So I think it was very much an opportunity. It's just a matter of, all right, what's important to him, especially again, like starting this next phase of his life with getting married and kind of everything moving forward. Did he want to do another year of college?
Mm-hmm.
What was more important to him, just kind of sticking here and obviously benefiting financially and having a chance to like do things that nobody has ever done in this program, like or was he ready to just move on? I mean, we've seen that for a lot of guys that ultimately they just, even though it would make some more sense to stay another year, especially now with NIL and all that, but some guys are just ready to move on. And ultimately he decided that the pros at Creighton outweighed what would have happened if he had kind of moved on. So it's a great thing for Creighton and I think kind of the way they've operated this offseason kind of lets you know that the coaches were definitely talking with him and kind of going through this process with him. They made one real push for a transfer center with Amari Williams, and then Kentucky kind of swooped in, and I think they let that one go. So that's really all we saw in terms of like a Kalkbrenner replacement, a starting level big man transfer. Outside of that, we didn't really see any names. So I think that kind of told you all along where they were thinking. And I think fans were feeling pretty good. And then his there's no announcement in typical Kalkbrenner fashion, and then his name did show up on the list.
Yeah.
So I think people start panicking again, but
Fred came out of the portal, and then it was like, okay, what's going on here? What's going on?
Yeah, I think those are two completely separate options. I think
the
Fred thing is just a matter of, I think he decided that what he had at Creighton was better than what opportunities may have been out there. Just kind of everything involved with being a Creighton Blue Jay. And Creighton, obviously last year didn't go the way he would have wanted to, or the coaching staff would have wanted to, but like, he's not a bad teammate. Like, he didn't do anything to burn that bridge when he entered the portal and when he went through last season. So the coaches are willing to welcome him back. They hadn't replaced him. They hadn't, they looked at kind of a potential like developmental big or two, but ultimately they didn't land anybody. So I think that's the one where it made sense for him to come back to give him depth and to give him a chance to see if things click here in year three. He was never going to be the starting center for Creighton next year.
Right.
If Kalkbrenner had left, they were going to find somebody to fill that spot, just based on what we saw last year. So I think those are two separate things. But, it's a great thing for Creighton. And, again, I think a lot of fans are kind of freaking out about just how long it took to make these decisions and all that. But, again, I think the coaches all along knew kind of where things were probably going to end up. And I think the entering the draft is just kind of going through the process. I believe he had already decided to come back before the deadline passed, and it was just a matter of getting all the kind of ducks in a row before making the announcement. And obviously you had the NIL campaign that they wanted to accompany the announcement to try to take advantage of something like this. Like,
yeah,
it's smart. It's good marketing. You got some great news, and go ahead and try to ride those coattails as much as possible to put your program in a better spot moving forward.
Have you, are you ready for another year of your post-game podcast co-host, Matt DeMarinis, yelling at you about how, Ryan Kalkbrenner is one of, if not the greatest Blue Jay of all time?
Yeah, I may just
not
answer, like just go silent anytime like he brings it up. I've made my case. I don't think, unless Ryan comes back and averages 20-10 and leads them to a Final Four, like, all right, if you make that leap as a player, even as a fifth year guy, then maybe. But if Ryan comes back and is just the same dominant defensive Ryan Kalkbrenner, and obviously still putting up good numbers as well offensively, like, I don't think my opinion will change any in terms of who he is as a player. Obviously his resume, his legacy and all that, he's going to continue to add to that. And I think that's like most accomplished Blue Jay, maybe. I definitely see that one. But just in terms of individual impact and performance, Ryan's going to have to make a big leap before I budge on that. But I'm excited for the opportunity. It's a good thing for Creighton, and I'm looking forward to being able to talk about him for another year.
I will say this. I mean, like, when you look around the landscape and he comes back, I'm super interested in obviously what it means for Creighton. I want to ask you about that too. But just for him, he becomes like, he's kind of one of the most, I don't know about recognizable players in the country, but people know about him now. He's been around for a long time, been a, you know, 3-time defensive player of the year in the conference. Like, he'll be the best player. He'll be probably preseason player of the year this coming year in the conference, I guess, unless you want to, I don't even know who would be in that conversation at this point with the way in flux it is. Like, he'll have a chance to win some individual awards next year, even if, like you said, he is the same guy that he's been the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of who's even back in the Big right. East and who are contenders there with him for that. But, yeah, I mean, with I think somebody called him potential All-American. And he's very much in that realm there.
If he goes out
and has a great season, especially with the bigs that were ahead of him, just in terms of reputation and performance, a lot of those guys are moving on. So he'll have a chance to be top 2-3 big men in the country next season. I would think, with guys like Zach Edey moving on and some of the other guys that were on those All-American lists ahead of him. And we'll see kind of how the pieces come together. Obviously, Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman, that's a lot of points per game there coming off the board.
Yeah.
Can Creighton make Ryan even more of a focal point offensively, find more ways to kind of counteract teams trying to take him away? I think they're going to have to spend some time in the lab this season coming up with some strategies to kind of optimize this new group, because they're bringing back three starters and three of their top four bench players, but it's also going to be a very different team next year because of the guys they're losing, and we'll have to see. And the guys that they brought in are kind of different players from the ones they're losing. So we'll have to see how it all comes together. That's kind of the one question, like looking at this roster, what they got right now. I don't know that it's like it perfectly fits together without some development, just trying to figure out, all right, who's going to play where. So they're light on wings right now. Like Jemiah Neal is really the only like wing size player, the Arizona State transfer. You got Stephen Ashford with Pop Isaacs, both kind of smaller guards. Larry Johnson's a guy that you probably want to give an opportunity to get in the rotation right away. He's kind of a 6'4 guard there. And then you got the three kind of power forwards with Mason Miller, Jason Green, and Jackson McAndrew.
Yeah.
Can someone like Jason defend well enough on the perimeter to kind of play some minutes there? Like, could you play Jason and Jackson together and get away with that with Jackson's skill offensively and Jason's versatility? Can that work? Because you got to figure out, all right, how are you going to kind of who's going to play the minutes behind the kind of minutes at the three spot with Neal? Do you really want to go three smaller guards? I mean, Johnson's not small, but 6'4 at the three versus the two, it's a little different there. And you still got to figure out, all right, Isaac Trout, kind of what's his role? So there's still a lot of things to figure out. Like, I don't know that based on what we saw last year, like this roster fits perfectly together. It's going to involve some development and some creativity from the coaching staff. But I think you certainly take the talent and figure it out from there. Well, and that's what they're doing right now.
It definitely takes on a different look because, and this is how I was going to frame it up to you. You touched on it a little bit. Like, Kalkbrenner is assuredly the centerpiece, you know, like the last 2 years, you could still argue that he was the most important player, and he was the most important player to like how they set things up and how they wanted to play basketball. But he'll have to carry, you know, a lot of the scoring load, I think, this year. And like, how does it fall around him? Like you just said, knowing that he is the centerpiece this year, what does that mean for him? And then what does that mean for the people around him?
Yeah, because, again, last year you had the three guys. And who their best player was
changed every day.
Depend game to game, because all three were that good and that important and that impactful in their own ways. Coming back here, it's just Ryan left of those three. Losing the other two, so you're going to need everybody else to step up. We'll see kind of how Isaac factors in and kind of the impact that has on Ashworth and kind of how what the dynamic there develops. Jemiah Neal was a double-digit scorer at Arizona State, but I think he's much more of a complementary scorer than a guy that you run offense through. So you're going to need kind of all these other guys. It's going to have to be a much more balanced team this year than it was last year, I think. Obviously, Isaacs has the potential to put up some big numbers. We'll see kind of what improvement he can make in Creighton's system, what they can unlock in his game. Maybe he rises to be kind of that other main scoring option. I think that's kind of the hope when they brought him in here to provide that. But you're going to need these other guys. It's not going to be four guys scoring 85-90% of your points.
Right. Like,
that's not going to work with this roster. You're going to need these other guys to step up. And I think they certainly have the talent to do so. You got some guys, I think, that are ready to make a leap. And we'll have to see kind of how the pieces come together.
Scholarship-wise, you got one hanging out there still. What do you think the attack is on that final spot?
Yeah, I think at this point you probably if you can land a wing again, like that, that kind of wing spot is the one that I'm not sure of. Like they got to answer how they feel about like Mason and Jason and Jackson and kind of how those guys fit in. Cause again, you got 6'4" and under guards, you got like 6'8" and above forwards. And then you got Jermaine Neal sitting there at 6'6" as kind of the in-between piece. Like if you can find another wing that can kind of slot in and fit in the system, give you some versatility there, maybe that's where you go. Maybe depending on how you feel about Ty Davis, you look for another ball handler, although like Ashworth and Isaacs can kind of split those duties. Like if you want to just turn the keys over to Larry Johnson as kind of that third guard as a freshman, you can play Isaacs at the point when Ashworth is on the bench and have Johnson next to him. So they've got some options there. I don't know that with as talented as this freshman group is, I don't know that you want to just entirely recruit over the top of all of them, because I mean, the way it works now, like if guys aren't playing early that are capable of it, then how long are they going to stay? So I think you want to kind of leave the door open for those guys to be able to help you right away if things are able to click for them. But you also have to do your due diligence, bringing back a guy like Ryan Kalkbrenner. If there's a guy that can make a difference for you this year, then you have to consider it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't add like an impact guy. Like maybe we saw last year, they kind of went through the process and then at the end filled their scholarships with Sterling Knox and Brock Weiss to kind of get some guys in there for some practice bodies and give them a chance to develop and then see what happens. Obviously, Weiss has moved on. Knox is still in the program. So those are just kind of see what happens there. Could potentially see them do that. Could potentially just see them kind of pocket the scholarship if they don't find the right guy. They've got some options there. We'll have to see kind of here now that with the portal closing and kind of draft decisions being made, this is, I think we're going to see the kind of the next big push here for transfers and all that type of stuff. Like this will be the next phase now that we know, all right, this is what the landscape looks like. These are all the guys that are available and these are the spots that are left.
With Kalkbrenner back and, you know, Ashworth returning, that's solid production that you get back. You brought in some transfers. Maybe you'll have some depth pieces this year that you can work in there. Right now, this is a preseason top what team?
Oh, that's a tough. I haven't really studied the other teams. I think if the pieces click, they'll have a chance to be top 15 again. Get a good seed in the tournament, contend in the Big East with UConn and whoever else kind of rises up there. With Kalkbrenner coming back and landing the pieces they did, they're going to maintain their kind of where they have been, I think, in the national landscape. And now it's a matter of can it come together well enough for them to punch through and take that next step.
Yep. I'm kind of with you. Jacob Adilla of Herd at Sports. Okay, Jacob, what do you got on tap this weekend? Where in the world is Jacob?
I am heading out to Kearney for Nebraska Volleyball Spring Match.
Kearney, one of America's finest cities.
I have not been there.
Really?
Whoa. Somehow, yeah. It just hasn't happened. So
grab some Cunninghams. You can get some, they have a, people told me about this place that I ended up going to, a pizza place called Flippin' Sweet Pizza. It was too sweet for me, but I don't know how you feel about your pizza.
Well, that's interesting. That's, I mean, that's pretty good marketing. Like that's an eye-catching name for sure.
It is.
We have not talked about any kind of plans just yet. We'll have to, I guess, figure out what the schedule is like out there and all that, but yeah, I'll have to keep it in mind.
Endless possibilities in Kearney, Jacob. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
Jacob Adilla of Herd at Sports. You could check out Jacob's stuff there and a little bit of a breakdown on what Creighton might look like. I'm curious to see what they do with that last spot. I mean, like Jacob just laid out there, there's a lot of different ways that you can go with it. I think, you know, obviously you want to get the best player possible. I could certainly see if they just, you know, like Jacob said, either put it in their back pocket or, you know, grab another body, but, or developmental project, whatever you want to do. Obviously depends on what's out there, but yeah, I mean, when you have the centerpiece like that, it changes the whole outlook. It changes the whole thing. And now you have this window where you can, you know, potentially make something out of it. It's going to be a different feeling team next year than it has been without the presence of really Trey Alexander, and Baylor Shireman, obviously. So, but
you return a lot of production, but you also lose a lot of production.
Yeah, I know.
You're sure of a couple things, but you're unsure.
Like Kalkbrenner,
some other things.
Kalkbrenner alone, just, I mean, that guarantees you're going to be
a little stabilizing force.
Yeah, yeah. It pretty much guarantees that you're going to be top half of the Big East, and then you go from there, and you got Ashworth back, and another year comfortable and all that stuff. We saw how he progressed last year.
Lowers the floor.
He used 15 as a number, and I like that as just a preemptive kind of guess, because they're going to have a player who will make it on in the realm of the lists of national preseason National Player of the Year, preseason All-American, certainly All Big East. And you have that, you build around them and you figure out where it can go from there. All right, good stuff there from Jacob. Coming back, I got a baseball thing.
Oh, we love baseball in this show. Great.
Yeah, I got a baseball. I'm mad. Josh is probably really happy about this because he looks at everything through the prism of I love the Braves, and you don't care about the love of the game. You're just like, I love the Braves. So when the Mets do bad, I love when the Mets do bad.
I do find it hilarious when the Mets fail. The phrase goes, lol Mets, for a reason.
And I'm standing up for not only just the Mets, but for baseball.
Now, I'm going to actually shock you on this one. I'm here for angry Connor Happer, because we don't get that very often.
I got a lot of my favorite things to yell about came together in confluence last night. We'll have that coming up on 1620 The Zone.